Father, thank you, Lord, that you have blessed this church, Lord, with so many precious men and women of God. We have seasoned people, people who love the Lord, have been walking with God, who have called into ministry, so many, and some of them that have spoken today, Lord, many of those in this church, Lord, have a genuine calling, Lord, to declare the word of God. So we pray that our hearts will be open now, Lord, that we will not live in fear, we will not live as just those who survive, but even in this crisis, Lord, we will learn to thrive. And people will notice something different about us. How come you're blessed? How come you're not afraid? How come you still are giving and giving, even though everybody else is hoarding? Why are you giving when everybody is hoarding? Father, I pray that people will realize the difference that there is in knowing Jesus and having Jesus in our lives and following his word. Bless Reverend John now as he comes, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. We greet you in the matchless name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Welcome to Catalyst International Church. So far, we had some Italians speak. Amen. The Hispanic community spoke. The African community spoke. African American speaking now. And somebody else out there is from Sicily, amen. So truly, truly an international church. To Pastor David, Pastor Angela, we thank you for the opportunity, amen, to speak. Reverend Joel, amen, we love you. And to my boss, Pastor Virginia Wright, amen. Amen, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence. We thank you. Now, God, we ask that you allow me to sit down, stand up in me, God, and we will give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. For those of you at home, this is not the first time God has quarantined his people. If you look back to Isaiah, the 26th chapter and the 20th verse, it reads in the New Living Translation, "Go home, my people, and lock your doors. Hide yourself for a little while until the Lord's anger has passed." The key word, pass, is not going to last forever. This is the second part in the three-part series, The Blessed Life. Pastor Dave took us through the first part. And if he doesn't mind, I'm going to piggyback on what he talked about in the first part, and we're going to move on. One of the most frequent and misapplied and misunderstood scripture in the Bible is Luke 6 and 38. It sounds familiar to my wife, because every offering that we raise, I read this scripture. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So, in other words, you will reap what you sow. I used to say, if you give a dance, you pay the band. Amen. God is good. But there's consequences for everything that we do, whether it's good or whether it's bad. You cannot plant squash and expect to get turnips. You're going to get squash every time. "Given, it shall be given unto you." We assume that Jesus is talking about money, but Jesus is actually revealing a principle that applies to every aspect of our lives. If we go back to Luke 6 and 36 and 37, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, that you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Do not judge." We have a judgmental nature. We're born with it, and we pray for God to remove it from us. We shouldn't judge. Amen. Yes, the scripture applies to money, but you can give forgiveness. You can actually give mercy. You can give understanding. and you can give patience. Now, patience is something I'm still working on, just ask my wife, and she'd be able to tell you that. The lack of patience will cause you to lose out on the full blessing God has for our lives. There's a commercial on television, J.D. Wentworth, "I want my money and I need cash now." This young man is willing to give up money that's due to him to a third party to take their part of it so he could have some cash now. "But given it shall be given unto you," Jesus was talking about a broad principle of giving. Whatever you give is going to be given back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, Jesus couldn't have been talking about jet planes or automobiles or skydiving or air traffic controllers during that time. He had to talk about something that the people would understand and could relate to. Now, I do believe that Jesus was the first air traffic controller. Can't you see him now? He's directing the angels and where they should go. Amen. 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 Although these things were yet to come, I believe Jesus was a man of authority. Jesus had to talk about things that was relevant in that day. You remember when he said, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me"? We studied that when we were doing Christian discipleship. You took an ox and you put a yoke on his neck, and he is yoked with the young ox. That's to teach the young ox. So wherever he went, the ox went with him. Somebody say amen. I remember back in the day when a young sister would join the church, the old mothers of the church would surround her in the back of the church after service and say, "Honey, you follow our lead. Now you need to let that hem down and that skirt, because Deacon Jones has eye trouble." Now, if you don't know what eye trouble is, that means you're looking at something you have no business looking at. Malachi 3:10 said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me." This is the first time in the Bible God said, "I dare you to do it," said the Lord of hosts. "I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will be room enough to receive. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." We know what devourer is. Your transmission going out on your car. Your refrigerator is going on the blank. All four of your tires are no good. That's a devourer. If you don't give God what's due to God, then the devourer has free reign in your life. Amen. Getting back more than you give is a universal principle of God. Think about it this way. If you plant one apple seed, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. You get a whole apple tree, but you have to wait for it. On that apple tree, there are many apples, and each apple has many seeds. Look at God. We give our tithes and offerings on Sundays and expect a blessing on Monday. Amen. God is true to his word, "Give and you shall receive, but not grudgingly nor of necessity. Give with a cheerful spirit. God will bless you in time, but you have to wait for it." Amen. Back in the day when I lived in Brooklyn, New York, I played the numbers. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Some of y'all played too. So you invested a dollar to get back, y'all know, 600. Amen. You got cheated. You got cheated. Amen. But you had to choose the right three numbers. God does not have a lottery system. Simply given, you shall receive. Somebody say amen. Which brings me to my first point, breaking the spirit of mammon. Mammon in Arabic means riches. Amen. Matthew 6:24 in the King James Version said, "No man shall serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or else he would be whole to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. back in the day, I learned a formula, and I've used this formula for most of my life. It's called R2A2. The two R's is recognize and relate. The two A's are assimilate and action. So I'm going to R2A2, mammon. First, you have to recognize what mammon is. Okay, we got that. It's riches. We have to understand what it could do for us and to us. It could be a blessing, and it also can be a curse. Recognizing the power of mammon. The second R is relate. What role does mammon play in your everyday life? People love money, but money should not be the focal point of your life. God first, your family second, and everything else should take a number by order of importance. Amen. Back in the day, the OJs sung a song, Money, 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 Money. I know some of you have heard that song before. This whole world gravitates around money. We need to stay close to God. Amen. The first A is assimilate. The definition of assimilate means to learn or to comprehend. Read your Bibles on what the Word of God says about money. For the love of money, not money, is the root of all evil. It often surprises me when people discover just how much the Bible talks about money. There's more than 2,300 verses on money, wealth, and possessions. Jesus spoke about money roughly 15% of his preaching, 11 out of 39 parables. The message is clear. Nowhere in the scripture where debt is viewed in a positive way. This may surprise you, but Jesus was not broke. Someone had to be given to Jesus' ministry. Jesus had a money changer. The guy that carried the money around, his name was Judas. You can't have a money changer if you're broke. Amen. The second A is action. You have to apply what you've learned through this process. Mammon is simply the spirit of the world, and that spirit is a liar, and the enemy always seeks to lie and confuse us. Truth and lie went for a walk. It was a hot day, so they went for a walk, and they came upon a lake. So they said, let's go swimming. So they took their clothes off and jumped into the lake. Lie jumped up first and put on Truth's clothes. And when Truth got out of the water, he saw Lie's clothes. He said, before I put on Lie's clothes, I will go and be the plain, naked Truth. Amen. That's what we're doing this morning, giving you the plain, naked Truth of how to have a blessed life. Whatever God has, the enemy has a counterfeit, and he will fool you if you do not recognize the voice of God. Mammon is a spirit, and it talks to us all the time. If you had the right credit cards, or the right clothes, the right car, live in the right neighborhoods, know the right people, your life would be happy and fulfilled. Wrong. You can have all of these things, and your life still could be tore up from the floor up. If you had money, people would listen to you, and your relationship problem would go away. We see it every day. These Hollywood stars, they divorce. They had money, but money did not solve the problem. You need to recognize the voice of God. If you hear a voice telling you to write the check, write the check. The enemy would never tell you, bless the kingdom of God. Write the check. Luke 16 and 13, no servant can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other. Somebody say amen. Devil don't like this message. Money is not the answer. God is the answer. Amen. Point two, it takes a heart transplant. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter and the 9th verse, says, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. When we speak of the heart occupies two places of real estate in your body. Your heart takes up real estate here, and it takes up a lot of real estate here. And sometimes we need a checkup from the neck up. Somebody say amen. Bless your name, God. God clearly labels selfish thoughts as wicked. Talking about the heart. In the book, The Blessed Life, on page 85, in the second paragraph, it tells us that babies are not born with a selfish nature. Babies are born with a selfish nature. The first words out of their mouth are not mommy. It's not daddy. It's wah, wah. Y'all know about that. Which is transformed as feed me, change me, hold me now. Now they turn 2 years old. Their favorite word is mine. It's mine. You know, the funny thing happens, they grow up to be adults, and it's mine. It's mine. It's a sad thing to see. Sometimes I would want to do something, and my wife look at me and say, me, my, and I. That's all it took. My attitude completely changes right there, because I don't want to be selfish. But sometimes we don't realize how selfish we are. In Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, the 10th verse says, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because this thing of the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and all to which you put your hand. Your heart should not be grieved when you give to God. We should simply be happy and understand the principle of God, because the reward of a giver is a blessed life. Have you ever asked someone for something and they didn't want to give it to you, and they almost cried when they gave it to you? Amen. My wife and I used to teach married couple Sunday school. And every lesson, we have open discussions and try to relate it to what's going on in the world now. So this particular Sunday, the lesson was on giving. Now, we had a loving couple. I'm going to call them Tom and Susan for the sake of anonymity. But we were talking about giving, and Tom jumped up and said, my wife gave away a whole house. Then he repeated it. My wife gave away a whole house. This brother was grieving. He was in some serious pain. Well, his wife spoke up, said it was heirs' property. We have a home. It was sitting there, and he interrupted her. We could have sold it. We could have rented it. But he was not at that same place where his wife was. I wasn't at the same place that my wife was. We were driving to Atlanta one day, and we passed a sign, the Florida Shelf Ranch. And my wife said, we give it to them. I said, we do? I said, who else should we give to? So when we got back home, she had a list of ministries that she gave to, still give to. Now, I knew better than to say anything, because I realized that our blessings was from the giving that she gave. I was the recipient. Somebody say amen. If your spouse is at a level of giving and you're not, you need to get there. You need to get there. Amen. Point three, do the right thing. We do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. If you want all that God has for you, you must get out of debt. Yes, God wants to get us out of debt, never manipulate others. And the third thing that God wants us to do is give. On my job, amen. Somebody said, bless him, Lord. This is my last year working. Amen. I'll be 67 in September. And my wife said, I can retire. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Amen. On my job, I talked to students from all over the United States and several foreign countries to try to get them to come to Orlando to get training to get a better job. Now, my job is not an easy job, but God has given me favor where I could do my job. John Guthrie does the same thing, and he's good at what he does as well. And I tell my potential student that you have to save money, number one, to get here. then if you set a goal and you commit to that goal, forces known and unknown will come to your aid. That's the language they understood. But now I'm talking to Christians this morning. If you set a goal and that goal is in God's will and you commit to that goal, I come to tell you this morning, God will open up the windows of heaven and will pour you out a blessing you wouldn't have room enough to receive. If you're going to live the life and lifestyle of a giver, you must have something to give. Amen. You have to make a lifestyle adjustment. The first way to do this is get out of debt. When God sees that you're serious about getting out of debt, he will help you. When we first got married, I paid the bills. I wasn't good at it. I paid the bills. And my wife saw me struggling paying the bills. And she said, honey, you want some help? I said, yes, ma'am, give me some help. Thank you, God. She took those bills and laid them down. And she said, I'm going to attack these bills. Y'all never seen her in action, but she's something else in action. She took it into the prayer room, and before I know it, our bills were going down. Amen. So I tell her, you are the man, ma'am. Amen. Our daughter Erica, God bless her soul, she called us about a year and a half ago, and she said she wants to come visit, but she wants us to buy the ticket. And that's unusual for Erica. She's 38 years old now, but Erica always paid her own way. So when she got there, she explained that she was trying to buy a house, and she needed a life coach. So one of the brothers in her church, oh, by the way, Erica preaches as well. One of the brothers in the church said, I'll be your life coach, but I will tell you what you can spend money on. And the trip to Orlando was not on the agenda. Well, last Christmas, she celebrated her first year in a home. Amen. And she called me on Friday. She worked for the Chamber of Commerce in Charleston, South Carolina. She was the executive director of political affairs for the Chamber of Commerce. She called me Friday and said, Dad, I'm moving to Columbia. I said, why are you moving to Columbia? She said, I got a pay raise at a new job, and the pay raise is $50,000 more than what I was making. Talking about a blessed life. Amen. Erica the tither, she gives, and she understands the principle. Never manipulate others. If you know someone that has a soft spot, you should not take advantage of that person. Now, back in the day when I was coming up, we used to call them suckers. Amen. Now, I have a relative. I'm not going to call her name. But she would call me up and say, I need some money. Because she know I would not loan her money. I would give it to. And this went on before I got married to Virginia. And after I got married to Virginia, Virginia said, what's going on here? So she kept calling, and I kept giving. So one day, and there's always a straw that breaks the camel's back. She was in a car headed to Nashville, Tennessee, to a general conference for her church. And she called me and said, brother, put some money in my account. I'm headed to Nashville. I don't have any money. I wanted to say no, but I couldn't. My heart wouldn't let me say no. So I used my wit. Amen. I said, I'm going to give you the money out of the church, but you have to pay it back. And that was the end of that. She paid it back, and she didn't ask again. Amen. Amen. I think I told you guys New Year's when I spoke. One of my students came to me and said, you know why God gave us friends? I said, no, why? She said, as an apology for family. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for her. There's some prosperity preachers that will tell you to give money to their church. We were in Atlanta once to my sister-in-law's house, and we went down into the basement, and the ladies went upstairs. And I was talking to her brother, and I said, what church you belong to? And he told me. You all know the ministry. I'm not going to call the name of the ministry. It's a mega ministry, mega ministry. And so we was talking about ministry and how they did things. I was trying to get some ideas. And he said, if you want to join that church, you need a W-2 and a blank check. I said, why do I need a W-2 and a blank check? He said, we draft your paychecks into the church. Now, y'all catch me on the way out. I'll tell you who the ministry is, but I'm not going to say it here. Amen. Our pastors do not stand up here and ask for money. I never heard them ask for money. But money is needed in ministry. So they're relying on us to do the right thing. We do the right thing. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Amen. My father told a story once in church, and this elderly lady got up, and she was testifying. She said, salvation is free. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. And the church encouraged her, yes, sister, you say it. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. She said, how I know salvation is free? I've been in this church 40 years, hadn't paid a nickel yet. Salvation is free. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16 and 28 and 29, New King James Version said, give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. And come before him. Or worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God wants to work miracles in our lives. And many times he starts by working miracles in our heart regarding financial obedience. Now, God don't make sense. No, there's nothing going to fall from the sky and hit me. God don't make sense. And I'm going to prove it to you. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. We don't think like God. Nor my ways, your ways. We don't act like God, declares the Lord. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We are not on the same level of God. God don't make sense. You have to go down before you can get up. You have to die before you can live. It doesn't make sense. If you need a financial blessing, God say, give. That's a tough one for most people. And an old sister in the church diagnosed with cancer, ridden in her body. And you go visit her in the hospital. She said, thank you, Lord. I thank you. You've been so good to me. Average person wouldn't understand that. It wouldn't make sense to them. God cannot lie, and he give us back when we give to him. So I encourage you today, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Given it shall be given unto you. Amen.
Reverend John, we thank you so much for pouring out your heart and breaking down the Word of God for us. Made it abundantly clear. And just to sort of summarize at the end here, what struck my heart in his teaching today was we are people of a different kingdom. We live in a different dimension. I know that sounds a little strange and unusual, but we have within us the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. The Bible says we are a new creation. We've been born again. We've been born once of this earth, natural mom and dad. But as Christians, we've also been born again from the Holy Spirit, from heaven. The Spirit of God lives in us. It's given us a new heart, a new way of thinking, a whole new life. And it's just amazing. And I want to just throw this in here before I forget that we as Christians are amazingly suited for well suited for the times we're going through right now. And not that we desire them or relish what we're going through at all, but we have hope. Christians have hope. Christians have the eternal Word of God in their lives. Christians have a living Savior. We have the promises of God. We are in a covenant relationship with God. God said, I will be your Father, I will be your God, and you will be my children. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I've been walking with God now over 50 years, and I've listened to my parents' and my grandparents' testimonies of how faithful God has been. They went through difficult times in Europe during, even before World War II, during the Great Depression and during World War II and then beyond. And they testified, I'm a third generation Christian, and I can tell you that all my life, I've heard the testimonies of people who have attested to the fact that God is a faithful God. He will not leave you. But here's the thing, as Reverend John said so well, you got to put him first. You got to put him first. You cannot take God as a good luck charm. Somebody say amen. He's not just life insurance. God's got to be in the driver's seat. This kingdom we're talking about, you've got to be all in. You've got to be all in. And we're going to pray in just a moment. But I want to thank Reverend John again for coming, and Reverend Virginia, too. His wife is also a minister. We thank God for both of them.